Welcome to Kardashian. It's psych, bitch. It's not Kardashian. I'm Marcy Jaro.
I'm Jessica Jardin.
Did you miss us?
Remember us?
I remember for a while when I was like dropping part of our episode of the L is for Losers. We are now on Patreon. L is for Losers. Shout out to Susie SoCal. Is that her name?
Yes. Or SoCal Sally.
SoCal Sally. Hi. Hope you're still subscribed.
Hope you followed us from platform to platform.
No, I'm saying this is going to be released on our old feed. Yes. So you maybe haven't heard from us in a while.
Hi.
And you know why, guys? One, I'm very lazy because I was dropping part of our episodes.
It's a bit of extra work.
But also I was like, we're talking too much about our personal lives.
Well, and a lot happened, didn't it?
We have to put that behind a paywall. But we missed you guys so much, and we don't have new Kardashians to talk about, but we thought, hey, what's the closest thing to a Kardashian on Bravo right now? And that's Larsa Pippen.
It is the strong connection point.
Strong connection. And I swear to God, Adriana mentions the Kardashians every other episode.
You're absolutely right.
She's obsessed with them. So we're going to talk a little bit about Miami and also catch you guys up a little bit.
Yeah, it feels nice. This was obviously such an important space for us to like learn how to do this together and find such a wonderful audience. And it's so fun. The people who've come over to party with us on L is for Losers.
Oh, my God. Truly making Jess and I maybe wouldn't have homes.
Oh,
had
this, it became an absolute lifeline.
Truly.
The deepest gratitude.
So yeah, but we're over there on L is for Losers. I just want to say this, like, we're going to give you kind of a little taste of, I don't know, what we do over there. It's the same thing, guys. And to say, like, if you want to pop over for a month and you can download 2 years worth of podcasts, do it and then get out of there. We don't care. I mean, we'd like you to stay forever,
but come check it out. See if it's for you. We're talking about all the same stuff, mostly in the sense that it's pop culture of the week. It's lots of headlines, by the way, which will always be Kardashian adjacent.
Almost always. Every week we definitely mention one of the Kar Jenners. And when the Kardashians on Hulu come back, we do cover them. And we also have vintage episodes over there. So we are in, season 10?
We're in season 10 of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We just got back from, we just finished covering Hampton season 1.
Yes.
We are now back and it is absolute chaos. It's right after Chris and Caitlyn split.
Yeah. So
lots going on.
It's over there on Patreon, you know, but it's fun to check in with you guys here. So hey, Jess, what's been going on?
Let's see. What has happened exactly?
Well,
in last
both
year?
We both moved.
That was big. And I mean, you've been in your place for over a decade, right?
I had been in my old place for like 11 years. Yeah. And I moved.
Yeah.
And you moved too.
I moved.
You moved a couple times.
Yeah, I moved 3 times last year. And it's because, for anyone who doesn't know, my husband and I separated in January of 2023.
Woo! It's not an Excel celebration woo, but
it depends.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's got a Vicky woo to it.
Eventually, we're going to have a party.
Yeah, I think it was absolutely the hardest thing I've ever gone through, still going through.
God, this last year has been truly watching the strongest person be so nice about everything every week while also feeling the worst she's ever felt.
That's nice. Well, this was a big part of it. Like I moved out of my house where we lived together and we'd lived together for a decade and been together for 13 years. And I moved in with my parents, who thankfully live in Pasadena and have a house that could accommodate me. And I lived in Pasadena for 5.5 months. We recorded the podcast remotely, basically, where I was in Pasadena.
Because you had to be medicated with champagne.
I drank a lot of champagne.
Cava.
I watched just so much British period crime drama with my parents every night.
Yeah. Then you lived in Shark House.
Then I moved, into a sublet basically in Echo Park, a very fun house that you can look up called Shark House, which literally has like a not paper mache, but a big shark above it.
And there, actually, kind of the most important part of last year happened.
Oh no, what was it?
Jazzy.
Oh, absolutely the best. The absolute high point. In June, I adopted a cat. My little sweet baby. If you follow me, which if you follow us too, at JJLA always and forever. I posted about my little sweet baby, Jazzy Rose. That is the name, the old woman who had her.
Who gave her away.
Gave her away, bitch. What a, no, we're obviously thank grateful. God. Grateful. But her name is Jazzy Rose. I couldn't change the name. It's so special. She is a tortie Persian. Absolutely breathtaking, I would say. Yes. I literally alone in my apartment oftentimes now, I literally will just be like, she was like rolling in the sun. She's been into sunspots a lot recently. Oh. And I was like, is this what it's like to have a baby? Where you're just like, it takes your breath away.
Yeah.
You're like, how are you here?
And then nothing else is bad about it.
Yeah. And then they
just like a baby
go poop in a litter box.
They go poop in a litter box and you can leave them all day by themselves. It's just like having a baby.
So I did Echo Park for another 4 months or so, continuing to just get on my feet, not lose my job, keep this podcast going, which was an absolute lifeline.
The craziest thing about separating from your longtime partner is that all of a sudden your living expenses
quadrupled. Going from a rent-controlled apartment.
Moving there in the 2010s. Yeah. You moved there in the 2010s.
2011. No. Yeah. Yes, no, yeah. 2012 we moved in. Yeah.
Guess what happened to the rental market? It got crazy, guys.
Absolutely psychotic. To walk out and have no idea how dating works, what renting costs, everything.
One knows how dating works.
Okay. Good. Okay. I have been fumbling in the dark, but, and then right in the same damn week, it just worked out that you and I found our new places.
I got mad at my landlord and just out of
rightfully,
spite.
Rightfully. 2 weeks, no hot
for
water.
Almost 3 weeks, no hot water. And out of spite, I found kind of the happiest place I've ever lived in.
Well, we both found our tree houses.
We have like houses that are up in the trees. It's kind of cool.
When you think about like ladies living in L.A., I always was very obsessed with Megan Draper from Mad Men and her LA house, and it's very canyony, cliffside. That's not what mine is necessarily, but I do feel my like North Star when I was looking was like, I wanted to feel like a little like, because that's the thing of LA. It's green and hilly. That's, you know, the great like plus of it. And I feel like we found
the only plus.
The only plus of it. And we found little tree houses for our little cats.
And I even tell my landlord, he said, only three, right? I said, only three.
And the reason I picked my place.
Because they had five.
They have five. It's a wonderful husband and wife who live right below me. It's like a duplex. And I'm the top floor. And they, when I said I was a cat owner, I saw the light in their eyes that only fellow cat owners have. And they were like,
toxoplasmosis.
And they were giddy when I told them I had one cat. And they said, a little sheepishly, we have five. They're indoor, outdoor. And I was like, no judgment. This is wonderful. So I live in a little hillside house and I feel like I'm in Europe. I walk outside and there's like these cats that are my neighbor's cats, like sleeping and walking up and down the stairs. Jazzy is having the time of her life. I think she has a boyfriend. One of the cats is a beautiful orange boy and he comes and he like gazes in at her. And that's it. I managed to keep my job, which was my biggest goal in a hard year. And keep this podcast going. Big credit to my co-host, making it so accommodating, because there were many weeks where I was like, yeah, I don't know.
No, we had some like fun little, I mean, not fun that you were gone, but we did have some like, because my friend was a basket case, so we had to have some guest hosts.
Well, and a fun thing happened, which is that the very podcast that we needed to keep afloat then started covering something called Scandoval, which caused me to relive some of the weirdest parts of the end of a relationship. And so we needed to take breaks. Yeah. You couldn't have been more accommodating.
Very traumatized.
It was a deeply...
It was like actually like... kind of very funny.
It was insane was what it was.
It was like, LOL, bitch. You want to watch some dissolutions? And then not to mention Miami last season,
oh,
too.
Oh, my God.
Watching, like, Lisa, like, and now even, like, to be like, oh, everyone's getting divorced.
And a lot of celebrities broke up last year. I would say I was slightly ahead of the curve. Yeah, everyone's a follower.
You got it early, Jan.
And most importantly, January 6th, which is now rebranded.
That is her insurrection.
My day of freedom, my day. of fighting against oppression.
Well, yeah. This is not behind the paywall, just so you know.
No. No, it was a big year.
It was a big growing year.
Yeah.
I started dating.
Yeah,
weird.
You had a lot of adventures.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff I can't say because I signed an NDA. So,
did you hear that? That's a fun clue.
Yeah, we'll see. I have to make enough money to be able to fight it in a court of law before I can talk about it. Just gotta keep plugging away at my bank account. We're just shooting the shit. And let me tell you, over on Ella's for Losers, every episode is about 2 hours long.
We just can't stop giving away this content.
About 2 hours long. And our vintage ones are, you know, they're a little more clipped, but
yeah.
We're having fun. Anyway, so the reason we're out today is because we've been covering all the Housewives. We're having fun, but we haven't been covering Miami. It just wasn't in our docket.
Yeah, I think the Peacock of it all sort of put it on the back burner.
But now it's on Bravo.
Yeah.
And it's the best.
It's my favorite
show. It's the best Housewife show on right now.
It is by a mile.
Also, Winterhouse is coming. Oh, no, Summerhouse is coming back next week.
Yeah.
So if you want to get on some Summerhouse, it's going to be good.
And that is something to point out. Like, yes, it's a Bravo, largely a pretty much a Bravo podcast, but like, it's not just Housewives. If that's not your cup of tea, we do dip into Below Deck a fair bit. We do Summer House, we do Winter House,
Kardashians, we'll talk about Love Is Blind, we'll talk about, yeah, we dip into a lot
if you're just not a Housewives head. But yeah,
so
Miami, ooh baby, what a show,
what a show. So let's talk about the Miami news of it all. And that is that, okay, so I don't know if you're following Larsa, ex-bestie of Kim Kardashian, so maybe you know about her a little bit.
Oh yeah.
But she was dating Marcus Jordan, who's
adult son of
thank God you clarified.
I won't lie, not
the child son of Michael Jordan, the adult son of Michael Jordan.
I did when it first was announced. I had not aged Michael up enough, and I didn't know like Larsa and Scotty's age difference and stuff. So I remember thinking it was like potentially a teenage child or like a 20 something child, and then I was like, oh no, Michael's old, everybody's older,
and Larsa's old.
Yeah,
Larsa, yeah. So I think there is like a 13 or 14 year age gap or something. Yeah. But she has been, and let me tell you, if you're not watching Miami, shame on you.
I must tell you, this is my pitch for Miami. Even if you're not even the biggest Housewives head, there is no more stimulating, visually arresting franchise. Not only is the locations by default so beautiful, you're talking crystal blue waters, palm trees, grass, boats, insane like wall, ceiling to floor,
glass condos,
and then the women and their outfits. They are the, I posit this confidently, the most fun fashion of any Housewives franchise.
Yeah.
Color. It is just a feast. It's a feast.
And their accents. I love hearing their like that kind of Cuban,
like,
Miami.
The Spanglish like floating in and out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing, is it's like, even if the drama and the stories are absolutely riveting, I think. But even if that wasn't your cup of tea, there is so much.
It
just gives so much.
These women are the silliest women, too. They really are.
I always describe it as the show that makes me gasp the most alone.
I laugh at really inappropriate moments, too. We'll get to that. But so also, if you haven't been watching, I would say you only need to watch the last two seasons.
Yes. Yeah. You don't need to go back.
But you should watch last season and this current season. I think that's kind of important, because you need to see Lisa's arc.
Well, much like it would be, you wouldn't want to watch current Vanderpump without watching last season.
Exactly.
Like, the scandal is really important, and it's also beautifully shot and edited in a very like
some
just
hot mic
moments. It's an incredible piece of reality TV.
All to say is that on the show currently, we're watching Marcus Jordan, son of Michael Jordan, and Larsa Pippen be very hot and heavy, so in love, starting having their own podcast, like just can't go minutes without each other. They have parties when he leaves for five days. Like, they are so in love. But apparently on Super Bowl Sunday, Larsa's so funny.
She's so petty.
She's so funny that on Super Bowl Sunday, she goes, "Hey guys, poll, do you think it's okay if your friends still follow your ex?" And they have unfollowed. Like, this has like been the love story of her life, according to her. And then all of a sudden, truly, I was like, she rocked the Super Bowl. Like, oh. Truly, she did. We're like, what? What's happening today on Sunday?
I mean, Larsa is, even for a monotone, boring woman, somehow the hugest stunt queen in the world.
She is truly like the most entertaining, boring woman.
Exactly. And a bad person.
And a bad
We should headline just an astronomically bad person. But yeah, so she posts. People had maybe noticed first that she had deleted all her Marcus photos. That was the first flag, as it often is. And then put up the poll.
Do you think it's okay if your friends follow your ex? Also, like, so fast to be like, that's such a funny thing to be like, wait, so it hasn't even hit the papers that you're not dating, well, and you already think it's bad that your friends are still following him?
I mean, it's because
give people a minute.
She operates like a teenage girl, you know,
yeah.
Like just wanting it to be as messy as possible.
But then on fucking Valentine's Day.
Oh my God.
Valentine's, not times. Valentine's Day, they're spotted at a Miami flower shop.
And not only that. So they leave. They leave the flower shop. She's carrying a vase, or I think he's carrying a vase filled with 24 roses. And she holds her arm across her chest in these photos in the most cartoonishly deliberate way. And she has on her left hand two giant rings. One is, I think, on her index finger, and one of the diamonds is on her ring finger. And I say, kudos, my stunt queen.
Kadoos.
This bitch in 2-3 days has us from the couple we never liked or cared about broke up. And that's interesting. And now they're engaged.
I love it. This is wild. Look, Larsa's.
If you can be so bold and brave as to debut an entirely new face and head and never comment on it.
And deny it. Not only never comment on it, she fucking lies through her teeth when people are like, your butt's fake. She's like, no, it's not.
You're crazy.
Well, you've been on TV for decades.
We can see with our eyes you have a different head and body. And while it is not our business, you certainly can't tell us that we're wrong.
No.
You can say, no, that's not your business. You cannot say, actually, you're wrong.
Actually, no.
Anyways, I guess we love her, even though I truly hate her.
I mean, I say it all the time over on Ellis for Losers, patreon.com/Ellis for Losers, that I love a villain.
She is a villain.
And I do think that her personality disorder makes it so that she is so authentic. She can't fake a thing.
Absolutely. And I think when you watch the season, she dips into being human at just the right moment.
Ugh.
Like supports a friend, hugs somebody, cry, like that. You're like, she's always kind of tricking you because you're like, oh, she's a shitty little robot. And then you're like, wait, what?
Where do we even start in covering this? Let's start with like, what is what? So Lisa.
Yes.
So last season, Lisa Hochstein found out Lenny Hochstein. We had a hot mic moment where
it was a brutal season leading up to it already, because she was gleefully talking, I mean, showing off her life as she was wont to do, but also that Lenny had been working out, that he was putting a lot of effort into himself. Finally,
this is
the part that's so brutal, that they were more in love than ever. They were really refocused on the relationship. We get that scene of them having that terrible date out by their pool at that like little table.
And he hates her.
But, you know, Lisa is truly behaving, at least on camera, none the wiser. And then we get this horrible hot mic that's at, I don't remember the theme of the party, but one of the grossest parts is that he's in the room talking to a friend while his son is playing with toys in the same room.
Talking about his girlfriend, how
he
can't sleep with Lisa because he feels like he's cheating on his girlfriend. But here's the thing. This is what's sick, and I've never thought about it until now. That audio is captured. Mm-hmm. I'm burping.
That's fine.
We are drinking, guys. That's what I think is
happening. It does kind of feel like we're like drunk dialing an ex. What are you doing?
Hey, we miss
what
you.
What are you up to?
Then we'll delete this tomorrow. This will never go.
Sorry,
to air.
I got overserved. Hope you're good.
Block, block, block. So the audio, this audio was in the can.
Yeah.
In the can. And presumably, guess what? You know who's the weirdest person in the world on every set?
Sound people.
Sound mixer. God bless. Yeah. They're my favorite people too.
Yeah, but it requires a very weird ability.
They're just listening in all day and they can't talk. So when they do start talking, good luck, guys. Mm-hmm. So this audio is in the can. But they don't like tell Lisa because they're journalists, you see. You can't interfere with your subject while
you simply cannot.
So the audio guys they've logged this, the DIT, the people who are in charge of all the footage. This has been logged somewhere.
I mean, this was my old job. You sit there and like I would hear stuff like on my shitty reality shows that I worked on, because if you're a story editor, you're just like, and for reality, you're just watching down footage.
So presumably like producers, but Lisa doesn't know. Mm-mm. Until they're on a fucking trip and she gets
in the Keys.
And then she gets a phone call that he's with his girlfriend at the house with their kids.
Girlfriend. And this is, by the way, where it becomes like a Renaissance painting in real life. They're out by the pool.
You think Salt Lake City is something? You should see this. Drinking by the pool. Be like, oh, he did what? Wait, when Alexia screams, call 911.
Gertie is crying, right? Like some of them start sobbing. They're screaming.
Also, Adriana and Julia are like having drinks at the bar because they're not getting along with anyone. They're like, what's going on over there? Are they fighting? Oh, no, they're fighting. Let's go see what they're fighting about.
A historic moment in Housewives of this news coming out and the women being wonderful friends, but also just the truest drama queens.
Call 911.
Call 911. I remember you say that. I think when you told me that was when I wasn't watching yet. And I was like, I have to watch. And it still was crazier than I thought.
Call 911. Said with no amount of humor, no irony. Call 911. Call 911, your husband's cheating on you.
And frankly, we should. Frankly.
It's illegal.
It is illegal.
It's illegal.
Get a
We're
cop
not
there.
Calling 911 enough.
ACAB aside.
Back in the day.
I'd rather them deal with this.
Back in the day, they would be locked in stock, right? What is it called?
The stocks.
The stockade.
Yes.
That man would have his head in a circle and his arms in two other circles. Where are the three circles? Bring the three circles back in the town square. Why don't we have them? Call 911 and bring back the three circles in wood.
This is the show for it. And it launches, you know, Miami was already having a fascinating season, but it is what broke it through because it was on Peacock and it broke through to the mainstream more so. And it suddenly had so many eyes on it because the chaos that ensues for Lisa is off the charts.
Because Lenny decides just go full villain mode.
Full villain. No care.
So let's fast forward to where we are now. I was rewatching some of the latter half of this current season.
Yeah.
And so like, okay. So Lisa's like a year out from.
Yes.
Or more.
She's a new boyfriend.
She's a new boyfriend named Jody.
Mm-hmm.
Jody. Very manicured.
Jody's a hard read.
Jody's a tech guy.
Yeah.
And I will give him that.
Yeah.
I will give him that he's a tech guy.
Give him that he has that job.
And that because of that, he maybe just researches things without thinking about them and what they will appear to me.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
Very manicured. So she has a new boyfriend. She is fighting tooth and nail with Lanny over everything.
They're fully in the courts. Their lawyers are going at it. He is really has no issue going to the press and is kind of seemingly.
We bugged her car.
He bugged her car, bringing everything. And very clearly, I think, using a very common tactic that, you know, using the courts to essentially like take her for everything to where she is bled dry and exhausted and capitulates. And that is a very common topic.
Capitulates. God, that's a good word.
A fun one, right? And that's a very common tactic for wealthy men partners to get out of, like, having to pay out in settlements and go through the actual divorce process fairly. And it's very clear that that's what Lenny's doing. And Lisa knows that.
So to put it in perspective of the show as a whole, though. So yeah, she's going through that.
Yeah.
I will say that last season, 95% of last season was about her, the women rallying around her.
Really loving, supporting her little monkey.
Taking care of her. How could he do that? Fast forward, a year later, they are a little exhausted. They are a little tired. And guess what? Monkey, every day. Monkey has not tired. Mm-mm. Monkey wakes up every day with a fully recharged battery where she can talk about Lenny all fucking day long.
This little tiny spindly woman.
Sinewy woman.
This thinnest little body and arms. Really is. You can tell it's also, like, in an empathetic way, it's what's fueling her to keep fighting this battle.
Yes.
And fight. It's her. She has children. She's very small children. Everything is new. Everything is scary. She's was obviously, like, a very rich housewife who is suddenly figuring out, in a very kind of, like, sad classic way, like, a total new reality. Lenny is with the girlfriend still. Even Lenny's mom has turned on Lisa. She's alone and fighting this and struggling, and every piece of her reality has shifted. Having said that, she still has a lot of security, a lot of money, I think.
Oh, yeah.
She's okay.
But boy, every scene is about Lenny. Lenny. And the women are always like, you got to stop talking about Lenny. And she doesn't understand that.
She feels righteous.
I think she forgets she's filming a show.
I think so, too. And I think we could very much be watching somebody who's also manic to a certain extent and needs her job more than ever. And I think this happens a lot in reality TV. Essentially, the very moment you most should step back because your life is imploding, you double down because you need it so badly suddenly. And so you are watching, like, an extremely fragile, unwell person make television.
And she's not the smartest person I've ever seen on TV. And I will say she's not the smartest person in Miami. And that's a big insult to her. Because those are not the smartest women. I tell you, the way they don't even mind not being smart, when they have Dr. Nicole, the way that they really think... Dr. Nicole, who's one of the most humble doctors I've ever seen on television,
yep,
for sure.
Yep.
But they're like, you're so fucking smart. How come you don't remember things that happened 11 years ago on Real Housewives of Miami? And if you're so fucking smart, why didn't you know that I don't like this woman that you've never met before in your life? If you're so fucking smart and you're fucking doctor, you have high IQ, why didn't you know that I wouldn't want to be seated next to this person?
Like, it is
Alexandria? Wait.
Alexia.
Alexia. Drunk Alexia. The way that she's like, oh, you're so smart, how come you don't know everything that's ever happened to me in my life?
And that's why it is a must watch franchise, is because they are not for a second trying to come across as, like, kind, empathetic women.
No,
they are there to be heard and scream over and make their point, but in a way that is, like, somehow not grating or difficult to watch. It's profound. They are I think I told you this, like, this may be a huge overstep, but when I first started watching, I was like, whoa, their plastic surgery looks wild. Like, their tits are so big and high and hard, and, like, their faces are so tight, some of them. And I suddenly was like, oh, it's meant to be.
Yeah.
It's a Miami thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it as, like, an LA Californian who's like, oh my God, we never want to show our plastic surgery. Oh my God, that would be so mortifying. They are doing, like, a 90s Pam Anderson. They're showing their wealth through their surgery intentionally.
We used to talk about this on the Kardashians.
Yes.
On Kardashian It. But one of my favorite things is how tight their faces and tits are, and then how crepey their arms are.
Yes. Yes.
Like, just to be like, okay, it's like cutting through the center of a tree, and you're like, okay, now I can tell how old you are. Okay, now I get it. Now I see the rings. I definitely see the rings.
I just found it fascinating, like, in terms of really understanding, even in America, like, the cultural divides even among like wealthy housewives.
It's, and it's so like, far away from us, Jess.
It's very far.
That is about
Catty Corner.
A far of a flight as you can get. You can get to Hawaii faster than Miami, I think.
It's true. It's just, they're just incredible.
I love it. So Gertie is going through a huge health crisis this year. She finds out very early, while on like an episode, like one or two, that she has cancer, breast cancer. And so that we know now she is cancer.
She beat it.
Free. She's in remission, I believe. At the same time, Julia's wife,
Martina Navratilova.
Martina Navratilova also last season, at the end of last season, was diagnosed with cancer.
Two different types of cancer. Two was different. Battling two different types of cancer, very lethal cancers at the same time.
I guess I have to pause real quick and say that earlier in the season, Martina is going through her last chemo. She's going through her last chemotherapy session, and Julia's not there because she was taking lessons so that she could surprise her by singing opera at a party that was filmed for her and her TV show.
And it's very important to note, you were kind to not use a word before singing opera, which was singing bad opera.
Opera's hard.
I mean, I can't, but it is.
Like, she didn't try to sing, like, you know, like Britney Spears. She tried to sing opera. It's hard.
It was one of the most hilarious.
Brave.
Brave for its embarrassment performances.
Nothing's more insulting than calling someone brave.
Oh,
God. But that's why she missed her wife's last chemo treatment after, like, truly being like, oh, she could have been dealt the death card. No. Nope.
And by the way, Martina loved her more than ever. When she found out, you missed it for that? They're really meant to be. So, they really are.
Oh, absolutely. So then, so Gertie, it's really emotional watching
Gertie. I love my Gertie.
I love Gertie.
I love Russell and their baby boys.
But some of my biggest laughs this season, and this is dark, guys, have come from Gertie weaponizing the status of her cancer. That she has not told a soul, but when she wants out of an argument, she'll be like, well, guess what? I have cancer. And everyone is like, what? What? She's like, I can't be around you fighting because I have cancer. And they're like, what are you? I have left. Because the audience knows, because we've been there through it.
Well, she was she was made a big point about how she was really wanted to roll out slowly the information, you know, from a privacy perspective, but it did not go that way for that part, which is so funny and so Gertie in a way that I mean only with love.
She did it like three or four times this season where like there was a fight that like Lisa and someone else were fighting. It wasn't even about Gertie. And she goes, well, I have to leave. And I lied earlier. I'm not okay. I have to go have surgery again because I have more cancer. And I know it's not. It's like I'm so happy that she's okay.
It's not
but
laughing at the cancer.
It made me laugh so hard the way that she's like, I can't deal with this. I have cancer. People are like, you have what?
Gertie is such important television.
Especially because she's like handling it with such grace with her boys and her husband. Wow. And she's like, and then like she just has had enough and she's like, well, I guess what? I have to go have surgery tomorrow.
And tell you what, I relate, and it's what I would love to do.
Oh,
how joyful. I mean, I am absolutely not belittling. What an actual nightmare it is. I have cried so hard in all of her scenes.
Absolutely.
I really, but it is like the idea of getting to be like, guess what, bitch, to someone you hate who's crossed you, to be like, well, here's a fun surprise. Oh, and that it's the ultimate.
Must be nice to scream at me, a woman dying of cancer. What? You have what? I can't talk about it now. I have to go to surgery in 30 minutes. You're like, what happened? Why are you here? It is so wild. And I honestly, like, I really applaud her because, like, maybe some people would have taken off the show, which maybe is a smart thing to do. But, like, to, like, watch her go through it and get the, you know, the, oh, there's something suspicious, then we have to go get this. To watch her go through the steps, it's like the thing that we're all scared of, right?
Yeah.
Like all women can relate to this fear. And so to watch her go through it step by step, see her like how devastating it is when she's like, I don't want to have surgery. I don't want to do chemo. And then watching her accept to face it and yeah. like and do it anyway is really incredible. And her husband and her boys, they're all so sweet.
It's a, it's beautifully done.
And also
and biggest, hilariously
the
done.
The biggest laughs I've ever had.
And there's a double prong, which is the Larsa of it all, which is
Larsa is
one of the first people she tells.
Because she's mad at Larsa, though.
And it's,
and she tells her because she's mad at her, right? This was, again, weaponized. Weaponized diagnosis.
So she tells her at lunch, and it is one of the most insane. This is where my... where the dial turned to, oh, Larsa is a bad person at this one lunch with Gertie, because she goes, I have cancer. And Larsa goes, how do you know?
And then it goes from how do you know to how was I supposed to know? Are you sure? Well, I didn't know that.
Someone recently, again, we're laughing about cancer. It's fucked up. But it was like one of the headlines of like King Charles announces he has cancer in the last couple weeks. And then they used that Larsa clip of how do you know?
Like, how do you know?
It's an insane thing to ask a person who tells you that they have cancer.
She doesn't ask once. But how do you know? She's like, because I know, Larsa. But how?
Medicine.
And then she says, wouldn't it be funny if they like come around? Wouldn't it be funny if I like went to the press? And she's like, haha, don't do that. Then Larsa tells 11 people.
And they have the editors, oh my God, they drag her ass. Every lower third is Larsa told by Larsa. Larsa,
because Gertie said don't tell anybody,
and she did her dirty. It was a gross thing. Larsa really, even when she's confronted by Gertie, doesn't understand why it was a betrayal, why it wasn't hers to tell,
because she didn't mean to. I was just telling people because I was upset. She's and self-absorbed.
And that what's happening in those conversations is it's not just that Larsa told people. She told people on camera.
Over and over and over. Oh, honestly, she told people who weren't on the show on camera. She got people to sign the waiver, to come on camera, sign the waiver so she could tell them about Gertie's cancer. It's crazy.
It's so wild. It's so wild. And then, honestly, I think we can jump to Mexico City. If you feel, unless, what do you...
Let me tell you what. Kiki is my favorite person on television right now.
A star has been born.
I mean, she's...
she's always been a dream.
I can't believe she's not a full-time...
I know. I feel like next season, because she's had so many moments. Pretending to cry in confessional using the vibrator.
Using a dildo to wipe your eyes because you're like, I don't have a husband. I only have this and I paid for it. Oh my God, she's so funny. A lot of funny stuff that happens with like Marisol and Alexia are always funny because
yes.
They're like who are the old puppets in the balcony?
I was going to say Wallace and Gromit. It's not that. We know the old guys from Muppets.
Yeah. Again, we are drinking Stratton, something with an S maybe. Yeah. But they are like those people in the balcony, but with cockies.
Yes.
So we have a trip to Mexico City.
I think this is two of the best episodes of Housewives in history.
Yeah.
I think they, again.
Honestly, last year when they went to the Versace mansion.
Oh my God.
Also very good. God. So there is a gondola ride that spans two episodes.
It truly could be a short film.
While people were sobbing over the dark, people were sobbing over cancer, over a potentially murdered child, losing their own child. I laughed so hard. And it is all dark and is real. And I also felt for them. But the way that I've never seen such... the man steering the gondola, he is about to actually have a heat stroke. They say, you're very rouge.
Not the word.
Not the word in Spanish. But they say rouge.
They say rouge.
Because Lisa makes me laugh. Lisa has so many microaggressions this season. Has lived in Miami for how many decades? at least 2 decades. She lives in Miami and she can't speak a lick of Spanish. She lives in Florida. Lives in fucking Florida, and she doesn't know how to the word for children. She's never heard of El Nino, the fucking storm system that's been battering Florida. El Nino and La Nina and La Nino.
Right? She doesn't know.
El Nino.
El Nino, La Nina.
Yeah.
But I also, we should say, so they leave, they're in Mexico City. They've had, by the way, that morning, one of the most beautiful scenes on a Housewives episode I've ever seen. They go to the Sister of Guadalupe, the church, and it is absolutely one of the most jaw-dropping churches.
They're sobbing and praying for Gertie.
And Gertie is like, it'll make me cry, is like crying because she's still in the throes. She hasn't started chemo at this point. She's about to start. She is crying. They're on their knees. These women are like, they've also had to cover all their like titty bearing outfits with like little like scarves, and like Larsa has like literally they look insane. They're on their knees. Gertie is crying. I'm so scared. Julia is crying because she's having a hard time because it's bringing up the death of her child, her baby.
She stopped.
She left the church. She left religion. Yeah. It is one of the, they're hugging each other. It is one of the most like bonding experiences. That also in the background of this trip, somewhat inexplicably, Adriana is performing.
She's become like an international superstar, but underneath our noses.
Emilio Estevez has set her up to perform for 200,000 people at Latin America's biggest pride performance.
And yes, that Emilio Estevez.
Yes, and it is, she's
Charlie Sheen's brother. Right?
No.
Because just let me tell
Estefan.
You.
Estefan. I got it wrong.
But let me tell you, Jess, I've been thinking Emilio didn't age well.
Okay, this
I've been thinking it was Charlie Sheen's brother.
Oh my God.
I've been like, God, he don't look good.
That's a different man. Yeah, this is Estefan. I even said it wrong though. Emilio Estefan.
But you thought what I was thinking.
Because it's Gloria Estefan's husband.
Hello. This is so funny.
I was like, I guess.
Charlie Sheen's brother.
Charlie Sheen's brother has set Adriana up.
That's not it.
To perform. So she has barely practiced. It's going to be a disaster, feels like.
It's weird because like for a pop star, for a burgeoning pop star, she's older.
Yeah.
She's quite auto-tuned still.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing. I don't think any of it makes any sense.
And it's funny because like Alexia has hated her for nigh on 9 years, right?
Yeah.
Alexia loves her music so much. It is so funny. Alexia's like, I don't like her, but I do love that song. It's my favorite song. It's my favorite song.
They all love that song so much. It's like written for their brains.
It is better than any other Housewife song, but it's just produced better than a Housewife song.
I mean, it is a very simple song. But okay. So it's all of that is cooking. As we get on this gondola in their insane outfits, yes, this man is on the verge. These are these famous kind of gondolas that are kaleidoscopic, painted really cool. And they just go down the channels. And it's one of the, it is like a descent. It's like in,
it's one boat ride that spans 2 episodes.
It's truly like Willy Wonka. Like when they get on the boat, like the shift and the wildness that you couldn't possibly anticipate. And a lot of it seems to kick. I mean, so Lisa is in a high stress zone
every day.
And she's using this as like a heightened moment because she's clearing one of the first bars of settlement. It sounds like, as I understood it. So she's very like, I get to be however I want. I'm having a terrible day. And like, I don't even know where to start. She starts, I guess it's, they see these dogs.
Yeah. So there's like, you know,
dogs on the shore.
It's Mexico City and there's people of different like levels of like living situations. And there's people who are, God, because it's so funny later because Alexia goes, I mean, how would she feel if someone saw her house on a straw island and they were making fun of her straw house on the straw island?
Straw house on the straw island.
So it's like people who are like living like in poverty.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of dogs barking and she starts throwing, she gets so concerned about these dogs and starts throwing manic food at them.
Manic.
And like, they're like, don't do that. Don't do that. And then the gondola driver is like, yeah, we don't need to throw the food. And she's like, oh, it's better than anything they've ever eaten.
And we learn in that moment that this triggers our beloved Kiki. Cause I didn't know this. Cause we get very little of Kiki's life and story. Kiki is from Haiti.
Yeah, I believe.
And from a relatively like impoverished background and grew up in living accommodations very much like the very one that Lisa is like throwing chicken meat at, declaring that it's better than anything they would ever eat. And Kiki is like not having it.
Well, and I think like this whole season, as I was like watching some episodes today while laying on my back because my back hurt, like Lisa likes to start screaming at someone and then say, why are you yelling at me?
Oh my God. Like the most, honestly, like a true Karen.
Because, she really is.
Because this does veer, even though Kiki really refrains, I think, from fully pushing it into
Lisa
this.
Lisa jumps up and Lisa, granted, she's 4 foot tall. She's like standing over Kiki and like yelling in her face. And Larsa's like, I wouldn't do that.
Larsa is like,
you know what? I also think that Larsa, because Larsa understands race dynamics better.
Yes, certainly more than Lisa.
Because she has black children.
Yes.
So she has a better understanding of like, hey, don't get in someone's face and then call them aggressive.
And Kiki is very calm and is saying, you need to sit down. Please stop. You have to stop. Please sit down.
Let me tell you, and I brought it up many a time, I might have a violent streak in me. It's not something I'm proud of. I also don't hate it. Unfortunately, like Travis Kelce, I will get in
push
someone.
Push the ref.
I will push an old man down that I love. But I tell you, if Lisa got in my face like that, there is no way that I could restrain myself from putting my hands on her shoulders.
Please keep in mind, they're in a contained space.
Very small
Kiki
gondola.
Kiki is in the
it's
corner.
It's not like the old school gondola. It's a little
it's
wider.
It's like a little boat
it's like
a
little
table.
More of like a party bird.
It's like a kind of a pontoon almost.
Yes.
Like. But Kiki is literally against rails in the corner.
Yeah.
She has nowhere to go to escape Lisa, who is standing up
granted,
over her.
Again, Lisa, very small, size of an 8-year-old.
But it's like, I hear from Kiki, it's not about actual physical intimidation as much as like
frustration.
This is something that is deeply triggering and I am increasingly less able to take responsibility for
yes.
my actions if you continue to do this. Like she's saying it and saying it. And Lisa is like pushing and pushing. And so Kiki does the unthinkable. She throws a juice box.
A little juice box. And people are like, where did she get a juice box?
I wish we knew there was juice boxes.
Are there juice boxes here? Who put juice boxes on this gondola?
And Lisa acts as if she's truly had, you know, a knife wielded against her.
She acts as if it is so violent,
yeah.
Which is so annoying.
Really gross.
And Larsa keeps being like, calm down, calm down. I don't even remember what happens next other than we get to an island that has a bunch of
baby dolls,
doll heads. It's the scariest looking thing I've ever seen.
It's truly frightening beyond belief.
And like, it's like, hey, whatever. That's spooky. But the reaction from the women.
It's incredible.
Julia starts crying because it's reminding her of her child who's very valid. We have Julia crying, Gertie's like grabbing the way she's like patting Julia in the face, like
Gertie starts sobbing as well.
Julia's sobbing.
Alexia is holding and consoling Julia, trying to turn her head away because Julia's trying to look.
Marisol and Adriana do have to go to the bathroom, so they do need to go on the island.
They don't want to, but they actually do have to go pee.
Lisa is like busy doing something else because she's like she just can't be around it. It is so chaotic.
Chaos. It's the exact word. Chaos.
It is so chaotic. And I truly was like, I hate that I'm laughing at this part.
I was alone howling. It was one of the funniest. I cannot think, truly in my years of housewife, I cannot think of a more chaotic. They're cutting to the gondola driver. They're cutting to like, it's like 10 realities are existing at once between this boat. And it's like Marisol and Adriana are like kind of goofing with the guy who runs the gift shop on the island. Meanwhile, Gertie is now sick. She's ill.
Oh my God.
She's basically starts verging on unconscious.
And then a mariachi band shows up while she's throwing up
silence.
And they're like, we gotta cut the mariachi band. And then when they get back, so they're like, we have to go back. So they get back and they're like, everyone's here and Adriana's like on the island. It's so chaotic. So then they go back to shore. Gertie has to be rushed off.
She's very ill.
In an ambulance.
Like absolutely, like verging on unconscious.
And Lisa's like, I lost a lip gloss. Where's my lip gloss? Anyone seen my lip gloss?
The women are also, I was laughing so hard because they're back on land. They've gotten off this gondola ride from hell. They are back on land and there's clearly production who you can see popping in and out. The women themselves are absolutely trying to handle it. And it is Marisol being like, let's get her a smoothie. And everyone trying
Wait,
to...
they said milkshake.
Milkshake, milkshake.
Because Nicole was like, do you think we need to get her something with it has a little bit of sugar and salt in it? And Marisol goes, a milkshake. Let's get her a milkshake.
They sell them right there.
If I saw someone throwing up...
And she's barfing at this point. They've given her a giant trash can.
She's so sick. Get her a milkshake.
They're like, she is currently barfing.
A medicinal milkshake is so funny.
Like, Nicole has to be like, so she is barfing everything up. So we can't actually do that.
Don't give her any water. Don't give her anything.
They get her in the ambulance. Nicole goes with her. It's so sweet. I love so hard. She's so ill. It's not funny. But so she demands to FaceTime Russell. And Nicole's like, okay, they're in the back of an ambulance. She gets Russell on, turns away. I was like, innate drama queen. An innate drama queen. She's like, I got Russell. And she's like,
And she's like, Russell, don't be worried. She's like, Russell, Nicole's like, Russell's not worried. He's laughing. And then like to like wrap up that trip. I mean, it's like wrapping up the end of the season. Yeah. But like we have Lisa. Kiki wants to make things better with Lisa.
She is absolutely, even though I don't think she was in the wrong at all.
No.
She is the one making the moves towards resolving with
Lisa. But Lisa cannot drop it. You're not going to fight me, are you? You're not going to fight me.
Which we have to keep remembering in the context of race. This is a white woman to a black woman. Repeatedly making comments about her fighting her, being aggressive with her, attacking her.
Everyone is explaining it to Lisa so clearly. Like, Nicole is like, I think she doesn't like that you're insinuating that she's violent or aggressive. And Larsa's like, you got in her face. And then, like, everyone's explaining it. Like, people online were like, how dare Lisa make me agree with Larsa?
I felt the same because Larsa also was like, I'm your best friend. I have your back. What you did was wrong. Yeah. You're out of line. And like, I was like, oh, that is cool.
But Lisa never hears it.
She can't hear it because we get a little bit of Julia being her very typical little busybody self.
God, Julia. Walks right outside. Julia's very much a garcelle.
Very much a garcelle. Overhears Nicole and Kiki talking. Nicole and Kiki?
Yes.
No, because Nicole's outside. It's Kiki and Alexia, yeah. I think, talking inside about how Kiki feels that, you know, like how triggered she felt, how much she feels like Lisa is a spoiled brat and has no sense of self, no sense of perspective. And Julia just cruises right outside and says it.
Well, then talking about you inside.
We're talking about you inside. She thinks you're this. Oh, we should also say Adriana did her performance. Looked like it went fine. No real thoughts on it other than why.
And I guess congrats.
I was laughing because they were doing a lot to judge that performance from like an edit perspective. Because every time they cut to the audience was just like stone faced.
Yeah, it's like the thing that happens in between the shows you want to see. Also, like the amount of times Adriana brings up Larsa talking in the Kardashian voice. She's obsessed with Larsa knowing the Kardashians.
Obsessed. Can you imagine as a Miami person? Like, I'm sure it is just like, or not even. They're just very famous, you know?
And the things that like Adriana is doing this season is so funny. Like how she like baits people into like she is like, oh, like on the bus they take one day, and she's like, oh, I have a lot of gas, and people are like, ugh, we don't want to hear Audrey on a fart all day, and she's like, you were talking about my gas, and it's like, you were talking about your gas.
Also, that's a great episode too. They do this charity basketball game. They all eat shit. They are falling. I've never seen so many beautiful women. It's just, it looks like a Benny Hill the sequence of like
episode, everyone shows up on crutches
and like arms in slings.
All right, so back to Mexico City.
Such a good season.
The only other thing that I think was like so funny, so like Kiki and Lisa, like Kiki's trying to make it better with Lisa, but then she goes, Lisa, what are my children's names? Lisa says,
she goes, you don't know anything about me.
And then she's like, you know, that was triggering to me because of my childhood. And Lisa screams, I'm not a therapist. I can't fix your childhood trauma.
Lisa's such a bitch. The whole group, you feel that that's like a moment that they're like, woof. And as a viewer, you're like, oh, like I truly jaw dropped. And Kiki, it's so gross. It's such a gross. Kiki is crying. She has opened up. It's the most we've ever seen of her on camera, sharing like how hard her childhood was and what she came from and how hard she works, but that none of them really know her. So that she felt very, she gives all the context, and that's Lisa's response. It is the nastiest. And you feel all of them like, and Kiki certainly is like, all right, well, you can fuck off and die.
Oh, it's, I mean, is there anything else that's so fun?
I think we're also getting, it looks like we kind of have some sticky, in Mexico City, they also go to this art dinner.
Oh my God. I love how horny they are for, I'm assuming, a lot of gay men.
It's like an Eyes Wide Shut kind of knot, but like it's just these like very naked men, and the women are pretending to be grossed out.
Half of them, yeah.
But they're like,
also with a pinata full of dildos.
I just don't know that
they're throwing dildos all around a 4-star restaurant.
There's just not a better show on right now,
and they're not trying to do it. That's the thing.
It's very natural.
Have like the housewives sit at a table and they say, all right, let's play a game. They're not playing a game. They don't need to play a game.
And by the way, like that first gondola, the first episode of the two gondolas, that is why it's such
the two episode arc of the gondolas.
It is like that church scene is buttressed by like that you start with that church scene, and literally a woman who is currently dealing with cancer and is trying to show up and is not well and is literally getting very ill as she's trying to continue doing the show.
She got so sick on this trip too.
And she is also looks flawless the whole time. But, and then we literally in the same episode have women throwing chicken and like clomping around and
a witch doll island.
I just don't know how you can top it.
It's so good. And I know we're not even touching all the things that are so good about it.
But that's a fair overview of the season so far. And certainly at least the parts that stood out to us. And
we're drinking.
But
we miss you.
We miss you. Come party with us.
Yeah, party with us, losers.
But truly, come on over to Ellis for Losers, patreon.com/Ellis for Losers. Try us for a minute.
Yeah.
And if you hate us, don't tell us.
Don't tell us.
Just leave
you
quietly.
You have to pay to tell us, honestly, because you can't leave a comment unless you pay. So
we're as sensitive as ever. Don't worry.
Honestly,
maybe worse.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.